Hey to everyone out there. This is Ready Row USA. I'm Charlotte Pierce, your host, and we are welcoming our listeners, and even the ones listening live is great. And you can comment in YouTube if you'd like to ask a question live. But those who listen later, we appreciate your comments as well. And we are welcoming you to the spring season of Ready Row USA. As we continue weekly broadcasts featuring the best of rowing news, gadgets and gear, hacks, tips and tricks on rowing from our sources around the country, including the ones who are here today with me, Tara Morgan. Hi, Tara.
Hi. And
Mark Wilson, our regular correspondent. And hi, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. So who's been out rowing yet today?
I went out in the ocean today. It was no awesome.
Way. We're just getting off the water here on the West Coast.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're the crack of dawn there. Sorry about that.
Okay.
But I'll just continue with some introductions here. And Tara is the founder of Seize the Oar, the inclusive rowing organization. And she's a member and coach with the Vashon Island Rowing Club in beautiful, incredibly, stunningly beautiful Vashon Island, Washington, which is north of Seattle.
Yeah.
And Mark runs the All-American Rowing Camp with Jim Dietz in DeLand, Florida, and he's also reps for AccuDock, right, Mark?
That's correct.
Which is one of my favorite dock. It's when you go around the country a little bit, you kind of get picky about docks. But and Nancy Diesner is behind the scenes here. She's our technical producer. And I might add, she's a wonderful artist and scholar at my club, which is Community Rowing in Boston. So thanks, Nancy. Can't hear me, you can hear me, but I can't hear you. Let's start out with Tara in the discussion today. And Mark, you feel free to chime in with questions.
Oh, I always do. Thank you.
Oh, I know you do, Mark. And it's always valuable. You have a little regular feature you'd like to tell us about too, so that's good. And let me just add that people listening, listen to the end because we're going to give you an episode hashtag, and you can use that to win gadgets and gear, rowing gadgets and gear and services. So I think Tara's going to offer something. So just listen for that, and you got to write it down and use it in your social media. So Tara, what's going on out there besides, you know, it's like friggin' early and it's not raining, I guess, for once, huh?
We're just diving right in with our racing season here in the Northwest. So this weekend, May 2nd, on this our Super Bowl of rowing. It's the opening day Windermere Cup, sponsored by one of the biggest real estate agents.
Okay, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. So speak slowly. I think that the tech might be able to catch up a little bit.
Yeah, so Saturday is opening day of boating season here, which is not just for the rowers. It's for all of the yacht boaters. So it's this really amazing event in the Salt Lake Cut, which if you read The Boys in the Boat, which we're probably most known for, the Montlake Cut is the last 1,000 meters of a 2,000-meter race, and we invite teams from international to compete against multiple national champion Husky men and women. This we're going up against Germany, which is going to be really fun. The weather looks great for this weekend.
And I think you cut out a little bit. It's called the Westlake Cut, right?
Montlake.
That's where the Ivers restaurant is, right on there, right? And,
yeah.
And the Pocock Rowing Club.
Yeah. So what's so fun about it is you start the start 1,000 meters out in the middle of the lake, and you don't. To go, and you go into a basically a pep rally tunnel of cowbells and people who've been drinking since dawn and like a log boom. There's literally a log boom of hundreds of pleasure boats tied together as you go into the chute, into the finish line of opening day.
Cool. Have you been there, Mark?
No, that's one race that I haven't done. I've done a lot, and I've been to Seattle and rode through the cut, but I haven't raced opening day. That would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
sometime.
Yeah. So there's lots of cheeky slogans on the cut. One of our teams in the Northwest is called the Ancient Mariners. These are some of the old guys who 50s along, and is red than dead because their color is red, is their team color. And so there's all sorts of there's also smack talk painted on the cut and cowbells and lots of fanfare, lots of you know, the rowing blazers and the yacht club and the whole thing. And then there's a big boat parade at the end. So
do
we're
you get
looking
into
forward
the rowing
to one of our
do you get into the rowing blazer culture out there in Seattle? Or is...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We are we're all Gore-Tex and Hi-Vis.
Yeah. Cool.
Hi-Vis.
Yeah, let me ask you. I was down at Ivers a couple years ago, and I was looking out over the Montlake Cut at Pocock when they were taking boats out from there.
Yeah.
And man, I could not believe Lake Union and just the nutty, like there were fishing boats, there were paddle boarders, there were kayakers, there were rowing crews, there were, you know, commercial boats, you know.
So I'll tell you a little funny story. I used to teach what they call LTR at Pocock is called ABR, Adult Beginning Rowing. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Which is basically, can we curse on this show?
No.
Can we
no?
It's chaos. It's chaos. So I had a couple of beginning rowers stranded across from the dock from me as I'm standing there with my megaphone. And I took a photo because you wouldn't believe it. There was a barge. There was a yacht. There were middle schoolers in singles. There were paddle boarders, kayakers, and then a float plane came into the image, right? It's just like puttering through. We actually had a float plane stop ahead of the lake 2 years ago. There's a famous photo of my 7 seat and my 8 flipping off a float plane as it goes through the Montlake Cut, cutting off our race. So
I just don't know. I don't know how they even, you know, like, maintain their sanity there. That's pretty crazy. But once you get out in the lake, it's better. But yeah.
And I spent the last decade rowing and coaching on beautiful Lake Washington, which is south of that body of water. You know, Lake Washington is ospreys and eagles and very little boat traffic. And I got to both row for Conibear Rowing Club and coach for Mount Baker Rowing and Sailing, which is a city parks facility. So I learned to row for the last 10 years there.
Very cool. And really tell me a little, I mean, you came to my attention through I don't know, a bunch of people who know you that I know. It's a small community.
I've been around.
But Seize the Oar, you know, I'm really interested, and I volunteer here at Community Rowing with our para program, and, you know, just like they inspire me so much. And I know that you are involved in this Seize the Oar Foundation, and is this, do you coach them as well, or what's the process?
Yeah. I was the only coach until 2 years ago, with volunteers, of course, and about 2 years ago, I decided that one of the big tenets of Seize the Oar Foundation is the fact that we know why these programs don't succeed. You know, not every program has established protocols, established coaches, established equipment, innovation, all of that. So one of the things that CCUR Foundation does is we want to create a pipeline of coaching mentorship, create new coaches, create new rowers, create new volunteers, new staff. We also professionalize our services 100%. And so we make sure that we have high quality coaching. We have very kind of aggressive expectations of our athletes in terms of both their teamwork and sportsmanship, but also to their training. And we're a little unusual for a para program in that we're not in the Paralympic track, but we're also not in what I call sort of a charity outreach track. We work very hard to train year-round for competition. And because we're the only para program in the Northwest, Canada has been struggling, British Columbia has been struggling to keep athletes. Vancouver Lake has one rower who kind of is in and out. He's very talented. He's gone to the para trials. He's very talented, but it's one rower in one boathouse, and it's very hard to maintain that program and keep his attention. And especially because he's a PR2, so he's TA, so he's required, at least up until now, to have a partner, a female partner at that.
Let's explain what PR2 acronyms are.
Yeah. So there's three categories in para rowing. There's PR3, which is what Ellen Minster focuses on at CRI. I think they are people who can use their legs. They can use their full body. Oftentimes they have a disability that might be visual impairment or some other neuropathy in their body. There's a variety of things, obviously, that can be in the PR3 category. PR2 is called trunk and arms in the old days. And we see primarily people.
I think Tara's cut out again, but let's.
That's true.
Oh, she cut out again. Yeah. You're kind of barely. Yeah. Mark, do you have any observations on that until she comes back? And you can also get into the topics that you were going to cover, too.
Is she back? Are you back, Tara?
Tara? Nope.
Nope, no audio.
I can't hear you.
We are going to try to keep the kind of the topic on the West Coast. So I'd like to kind of talk about a couple other clubs that are that are out there as well. You know, there's a lot of unique characteristics at various clubs. And I think that's exactly what Tara was just talking about, is that, you know, she's trying to work or is working with, you know, the para group or the inclusive group, but in a really neat way, which is not necessarily trying to be at the highest level, but just more racing, more opportunity, and more inclusion, which is great, which is really great. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me okay, Charlotte?
Yeah, I just, okay. So, something cut out with me too. So. Go ahead.
Okay. So one of the things that also is going on out on the West Coast a lot is more of the clubs are getting into the coastal side of things. So this is, again, a little bit of a fringe element. We've talked about this a couple of times. But Bayak, which is another island, instead of Vashon Island, this is Bear Island Aquatic Center, or Bayak Rowing Club. They're really going into coastal and are advertising big on the coastal side of things. So I think that's really cool.
And is that in California? Is that the one?
That's in California. Yeah, okay. That's in the San Francisco Bay Area. So even though it's not Northwest, it's still Northern California. I think of Northern California as kind of West Coast and kind of pseudo connected to the Northwest. But
no, it's definitely there's.
Yeah, a lot of cross pollinization there with
some of my best friends are Californians.
Right. So I think this cool thing that is going on in the Bay Area with the coastal side of things is going to also help just kind of get more rowing and more different rowers involved with the sport. So between Bear Island and the Dolphin Club right there across from Alcatraz and other clubs in the Bay, in the actual San Francisco Bay, it's starting to really catch catch a foothold. So the other place that that's going, it's not the Northwest, but actually, and it's not a coast, but is the Great Lakes. And I think that's another thing that's happening. We'll probably talk a little bit more about some of the Great Lakes coastal rowing that'll be happening here too at another time.
Now, Nancy and I and some other people were interested in doing some regattas out here. They're starting to have a few. But we were just wondering what the, can you go, not everyone has a coastal boat. Can you just go and rent one or?
I think it would be good to kind of talk to some of the boat manufacturers and let them know that, that you're interested in it. And then also they will know which clubs have some of the coastal equipment. And they're not expensive. So if it's something where, a club it's listening is something like, geez, maybe this sounds pretty cool. And seeing images of a Cox coastal quad going underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, there, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you just want to, and then that someone asks like, what was that I just saw?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Well, singles are only like $3,500. So it's not like a club, it's not out of the realm for a club to buy a couple of singles or a double as well. So there's nice ways to get into it. And it's not the recreational class. It is an actual FISA class, which is what the folks there at BIAC are really leaning towards is the coastal class, which is a FISA class.
And it's going to be an Olympic pilot sport or something.
I mean, cool. We've touched on that in the past, and again, it will be an exhibition event in 2020, and then it's slated to be a full-on Olympic event in 2024.
Try Tara and Tara, if it works better, you can take your headphones and stuff off, and we'll just mute ourselves when you're talking. You want to try? Nope.
I think she's, looks like she's trying to talk, but we're not hearing her.
Yeah. Would you want to just remove your headphones and mic and just use your internal stuff? Nope. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Mark. Maybe okay. Tara, if you can hear us, just speak up when you're back on. Okay. Good.
Okay. So the other club in Seattle that I had just gotten a little information on is the Seattle Scullers, which is run by a company, LTRD, Long-Term Rowing Development, by a young man named Matt Zatarowski in Seattle. And he's got East Coast connections and Midwest connections as well. And I think this is just one of the examples of kind of a highlighting a club that's doing some unique things with how they're running their program. So I just wanted to kind of bring everybody's attention to this neat little club. And I'm not sure exactly how many members are in it now, but it only started in 2016. And so it's only been around for about 3 years, right in Seattle. They started with just a handful of rowers, and then they've qualified people to the youth national championships over the last couple of years, and are doing some really neat things. But Matt's got a nice background, and he's from Chicago originally, and rowed high school at Loyola Academy, and then went down a little bit further south to Notre Dame, just outside of Chicago, and rowed.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes, you sound great. Yeah. Well, that sounds cool, Mark. And
did you hook up
with them through the drones? Because I know
I've been doing some drone videoing as well. And then I saw some of the work that Matt's been doing with the drone. And so I just wanted to kind of highlight that and have people kind of see their website and see what they're doing out there. But I think what we're also encouraging listeners to do is to highlight other clubs that are doing unique things, either with technology or with programming or with equipment or whatever that other people might be interested in learning.
Yeah, absolutely. We really want to hear from the clubs out there. We do have a club news segment. We'll get to a couple of those items that people can send in their news, and we'll cover it on the program. So please look in the show notes for the link to that form, and I think Nancy will flash it up here in a second. But Tara, did you want to finish a thought about that? And do you know the Seattle Scullers?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Matt Zatorski and the long-term development, the Roar organization, because they've hit the scene in Seattle with just a bam. You know, the fact that their blades are as bright as they are, you can't miss them. You know, you see them around and they have very slick gear. They have an entourage of people helping them. I used to coach with Matt at Seattle Prep when they were over at the College Club facility. And so I know Matt and know the work that he's doing. And, you know, those kids are great because not only are they snappy dressers, for sure, and they're both, but, you know, I feel like
it matters. Yeah.
I feel like whoever's doing his social media is just really doing a nice job of really putting a professional image out and a professional feel out. There's a lot of clubs in Seattle. We have Olympians getting ready and we have like your mom learning to row. Yeah.
I love it.
And, you know, and then we have like 90-year-olds who really probably shouldn't be on the water, but you know, hey, I used to coach a senior rowing team, which the oldest was 84. It's totally amazing here in Seattle that you can do all of those things. Meanwhile, you've got some girl here, not some girl, but a really talented young rower here on Vashon Island who rows for the Burton Beach Rowing Club, who just broke an erg record last week. And it's because she showed up at practice and said, "Hey, coach, I think I'm ready to break the world record today." And she tried three times, I think, to do it.
Oh my
and
God.
She did it with like a 500-meter test.
How old is she?
The kid crushed it. She's like 15, 16 years old. But I'll tell you, you know, I help produce the annual Our Crash Bees here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's called Northwest Ergomania. And mm-hmm. I helped produce that event the last couple of years. And I myself love to do the Hour of Power. It's my favorite. It's awesome. But it's such a great showing up rowers from as far north as Canada all the way down to Portland, Oregon, who come into town for that event. And
so,
you know, cool. We have our annual U.S. Rowing Regionals coming up too at the end of June, which should be really fun. And that's like thousands of rowers coming in because the Southwest Regionals doesn't tend to happen every year. So a lot of people funnel up. So we see Bear Island, we see Delta Sculling, we see Marin, of course, we see, you know, and then we're starting, of course, to have those composite clubs, you know, like Chinook, and those guys show mm-hmm. up at the events as well. So, yeah.
Well, I actually grew up in Spokane and I row with River Rowing Association and they're just so nice. They're just like you call them up, yeah, sure, come on down, you know. It's
Do you see that their Facebook posts are great because during their land training they put their ergs next to a waterfall. Like it's like a waterfall. Or they like lay their ergs out on this little balcony or something.
Yeah, that's the downtown Spokane. That's the Riverfront Park, I think, where they bring them, I'm not mistaken. So
just that reminds me, a little shout out. I run a Facebook page called Learn to Row, and it's really geared towards coaches and clubs to share ideas about retention, marketing, mm-hmm. curriculum development, what kind of images people are using, what kind of giveaways people are doing. Like, do you get a free t-shirt?
Cool. So
I like to share. Every time I see a Learn to Row post online, anywhere in the world, I'll repost it on Learn to Row. So go check it out. There's, I try to do it so that we all receive a little bit of help and mentorship and collegiality around Learn to Row, because it's a tough topic for some clubs. And, you know, everything from price point to how many weeks it is to whether you do just sweep or just scull or whether
And retention of the people who come to learn, you know. I just always look at them and I think, oh God, please stick with it, please. You're gonna love it.
You know, and a lot of after doing it for a decade, I can tell you probably the top two reasons of why people stay or why people go is the receiving end. What program are they graduating into? And if you work with the receiving program to find out what they want from their Learn to Row grads, how experienced they want to be. I learned it the hard way, where the coach said to me, you know what, you can't hand me rowers that have never been over 26 strokes a minute. was like, okay, so this next, every year after that, we upped the game. And so when they handed them off, when I handed them off, I didn't hand off a project. I handed off a slightly formed rower, you know, right, not a fully formed rower, but
I tell you, I was struggling to hit 26 the other day. I don't know what it was. I just couldn't, like, I try and then my, you know, my style went all to pot. But anyway, but we are running toward the end of our segment episode here, but I just wanted to bring up a couple of the club news items that people have sent in. Let's see if I can get them. Oh yeah, Spokane River Rowing Association, definitely. I bugged them for some news. So they're got a bunch of Learn to Row classes coming up, and it's
SRRA, I think.
Yeah, I think it's SRRA. And anyway, you can Google it. And they're just the coolest bunch of people. Love them. Then there's something called Passport to Pain Ride.
Yes.
That's something Tara knows about, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I live on an island, and islands are known for, Mark might not have this in Florida where it's a little bit flatter, but we have lots of hills. And we have some cyclists who are also rowers, and they cycle as their cross training here on the island. And it's pretty brutal. It can get really ugly. And so what they did was, these guys are hilarious. They came up with this ride about 10 years ago called the Passport to Pain. And there's four rides you can choose from. And the toughest ride is called the Idiot. And it's 80 miles and 10,000 feet of elevation gain. It's brutal. It's totally brutal, but it's hilarious at the same time, because there's all these checkpoints. Everyone's dressed in costumes. You have to get your passport checked, and there's beer at the end. So it's just, it's all wonderful and good, but it's a fundraiser for the rowing club. And
it's just the perfect name, you know, it's just, yeah, I just love it.
So this guy in the devil costume, he actually is the head of the Chamber of Commerce, and he chases you up the steepest hill. He actually trains for it by doing hill repeats.
That is hysterical. I love it. Mark, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. I've got a bike.
Yeah, you're typical. Your son, maybe he would try it.
Yeah, so that's in September.
Yeah. So now we're coming to the time when we're going to reveal our episode hashtag. And Tara, do you want to tell people what they will win if they're selected in from the drawing of people who submit?
From the thousands of correct answers.
Yes, the thousands of correct answers.
Right, from all the postcards that we're going to get. I think what we're going to do
along here, with a $20 bill.
Yeah.
I think what we'll do here is we will do hashtag island rowing, and
actually the hashtag is not, we've already set the hashtag.
Oh, okay, good.
But yeah.
Okay.
But so
the prize is a growler of our local brew of Camp Colvos beer and a private lesson for two.
Excellent. I might come up and take you up on that if I win.
You got to tell them the hashtag now.
I'm going to tell them the hashtag, and Nancy's going to put it on the screen. And there it is. RRUSA, which is Ready Row USA, and Seize the Oar is the last part of it. So put it out anywhere on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, and we'll search for it, and we'll find you, and we'll track you down, and if you don't hear from us, please reach out. I'd like to acknowledge our
sponsors.
Sponsors. Yes, thank you, Mark. That's what they are, because they're so cool. Row Tours is rowtours.com. It's International Adventures for Rowers and Non-Rowing Spouses, too. And Just Strong is...
Widows.
What's that?
Also called Rowing Widows.
Rowing Widows, yeah. Like, I'm still trying to get my husband to seize an oar. The other sponsor, thank you very much, to Just Strong. They came on last month. And juststrong.com, it's stylish, technical, athletic clothing for women. So it's designed for women. And if you have ever tried to order unisex athletic clothing, you'll appreciate just strong. It's really cool. And thank you for making it possible for us to put this podcast on. We are part of the Rowing Chat Network. Executive producer is Rebecca Caro of rowing.chat. If you go to rowing.chat, you'll find all the podcasts, Faster Masters. They're escaping my head, but rowing.chat is the URL that you can go to. It's like .com, only .chat. And Nancy Diesner, thank you so much for providing our technical support. And I think it's really helpful to have these, you know, visuals that you provide. Mark, what's your coaching tip that you want to leave us with?
A little coaching tip. Pay attention. How about that? Pay attention. Mm-hmm. You know, I think oftentimes what coaches do, and the reason that for that is I do a lot of these camps. And, you know, I was in Providence, Rhode Island last week. I'm going to Dayton, Ohio this week. I'll be in Portland, Oregon next week, and all over. And what really matters is paying attention. We as coaches are watching a repetitive activity. Mm-hmm. And if we're not paying attention, pretty soon the repetitive activity becomes something that you don't really want in your athletes. So I think as coaches, every once in a while, you got to look away. Mm-hmm. But when you look back, make sure you pay attention. So there's my
very, very, very good tip. And Tara, do you have a something you want to leave us with?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that Cease Dior says all the time is one catch, one finish, one team. And I think if we continue to share ideas and collaborate among clubs and coaches, then we can only get stronger and we can only open more doors for people who may not think that rowing is for them. I think we've tended to be siloed in our coaching and our philosophies and in our styles and our leadership. But Cease Dior really wants to be a thought leader, and with people like Mark and with things like Rowing Chat, I think we're really cracking this thing open. And I am excited about the whole community being catching and finishing together and being a team. So thanks for doing this.
Thank you for being here. Really appreciate it. And like
Charlotte, let me add one more little 25 second thing, actually. Okay. Last week after one of the shows, I got an email from a coach, and that just opened up a whole new dialogue about collaboration, exactly what Tara was just saying.
Yeah.
So I think that if that happens, if one person reaches out to one of us over the next, you know, few days, whatever, that's a winner, right?
Yeah,
so do not hesitate to reach out to us individually via email or phone or whatever, and just ask a question or
absolutely. Or yeah, I'd like to just point out that my sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that just perfect segue. My Pierce Press is my company, my publishing company. And my motto byline at piercepress.com is collaboration is the new competition. So we'll head out with that, and we'll see you all again in the near future. Mark, take care. Tara, thank you again. And Nancy, you're the best. Bye.
Thanks, Nancy. Bye.